You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. World of Work.
It's 18 minutes after 11 o'clock. Let's get into our World of Work feature. And today we're talking about recruitment policies. We started this conversation on the 702 open line already. It's a process of attracting the right talent with the right skills, the right attitude, and the right experience. But some of them are, quite frankly, and in my humble opinion, are outdated and unreasonable. You know, like excluding people with tattoos from applying for a specific job. And I get the perception that it creates. You want uniformity, you want standardization, but the fact that I have a tattoo doesn't mean I'm less qualified or I'm less competent. So I want us to look at the key elements that recruiters look at when they're in the process of hiring. You know, far apart from experience and qualifications, do they look at the physical appearance, like your gold tooth, maybe your piercing, or in this case, even tattoos? Can physical appearance lower the chances for the candidate to get the role, even though they have the passion, the commitment, and the experience that is required? Thulisile Dubazana is a human resource specialist joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Thulisile. Thank you so much for making time.
Good morning, Siyabonga. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So what are some of the fundamentals of recruitment policies? The noise I was making on the 702 open line this morning is that, you know, my understanding is you need someone who's passionate, you need someone who's committed, who's got the required experience, the right attitude, the right skills. Why should physical experience matter?
I'm going to touch on what we call the Employment Equity Act, which really covers the discrimination part of what you are leaning towards. You know, we look at unfair discrimination with gender, sex, ethnicity, political opinion, age, as well as, you know, how you present yourself physically. And that act really does protect, you know, the process of identifying a candidate during the process of recruitment. What technically should be, one should focus on when recruiting is what is the core function of that particular role, the skill set, experience, qualification, and any additional attributes that are required to deliver on the role, and then follow that process. We have, you know, we even have specific initiatives that are now inclusive of disabled people. So it is quite outdated. There's a new way of doing things. And we really need to focus on the discrimination and how do we define it as unfair when we are recruiting.
Yeah. So when recruiters then look at what, when they are out there looking for the relevant skills, what is it that they're focusing on in that process of hiring?
So what would normally happen is one would receive a role profile. And this is when recruiters drive this process. And like I said, it would outline what are the requirements of the job, the industry that this job falls under. And, you know, one would then have to match what is written on paper and what is in the market. Then you'd then follow a process of advertising the role. Then you start shortlisting the role itself. You know, there's just core role responsibilities that are non-negotiable in terms of what that particular person that is applying for the role must have. So if there is a specific, you know, indication on experience, the role is requiring three years experience or 10 years experience, that is a non-negotiable. If the role requires a certain qualification, because you have to understand what you're doing, you have to have studied as well to understand what you need to go and deliver on. And then any additional things that might be unique to that role. There are some associations that engineers belong in, accountants belong to, and one would need to be affiliated with those associations to be then accommodated. there's no description that would then define what that person must look like. Nothing in that description would indicate whether you should be short or tall or big or small. It really needs to focus on whether or not that person can come in and do the job.
Yeah, that's it, right? And take us through the various techniques that are used, because there's often the shortlisting, the scoring, interviews, assessments, reference checks. Just take us through all of those various techniques that are often deployed.
All right. Nobody would advertise. There's different methods of advertising for the position. These days, online, we have a link called LinkedIn that is quite popular in order to really try and find any positions. A lot of this platform specifically is used by a lot of the agencies and companies that recruit. The next stage would definitely be shortlisting. So that process would run for a specific period, and then it would close. Then in the background, the screening and shortlisting would then start kicking in. And that shortlisting will then try to match CVs that have come through in matching what the role profile is looking for. Then one would then move to interview stage. And that really is an opportunity for the employer to meet the job applicant face-to-face. These days, we've got Skype and Zoom as well. And really, we use, at that point, there's a targeted selection methodology in which we, there's specific interview skills. There's a measuring system that is used on, how do we then really unpack the specific person that is in front of us and identifying what we're looking for. We also, as I spoken about earlier on, companies that drive the BBBE or the employment equity drive in the environment would also look into that in terms of recruiting. And then would move over to any assessments. Some roles require assessments, especially the more senior technical roles. One would need to be assessed. I'm not a psychometrist, but I have exposure to it in terms of we assess personality and whatever it is that is required from that level. And, one would probably narrow down from 10 to about 2 people that would probably be a good fit for the role during that entire process. And then we get to the point of reference checking what has happened in the past, in your previous employment, checking for your qualifications and any other detail that is required. And I think this is the fun part where we start extending the offer. So that's where people will probably make a bit more than where they were making. And until we get to a point of really signing off the document and the person is good to go.
Can physical appearance lower the chances for the candidate to get the role? And I'm asking this because there's even a listener here who is asking, why do recruiters sometimes ask for a photo of the applicant?
Let me tell you, I think I was, sorry, it was Clement, I meant Clement earlier on.
Sure.
I was talking to a colleague yesterday and if I had to really speak on myself specifically, I've got tattoos myself. And by no way does that affect the credibility of, what I bring to the table, my academic background, my experience. It's not challenged in any way. It speaks nothing towards my ability to do the job. But there has been, for some reason, that association. And I don't really understand it because, if I had to challenge it, then we would talk about discrimination. It does fall under discrimination. When it comes to pictures, I'm also of the opinion that there really shouldn't be any reason why a picture should be put in there. It goes as far as saying they shouldn't even be your ID, because one could even, you know, question, why do you need to know my age? As long as I'm within or before the retirement age, there really isn't a reason. But, you know, the way I do want to look at it is perhaps just bridging the gap of knowing, who am I talking? Who's the face behind this? If it's done in an ethical way, then it would probably be, who am I speaking to? Who's Thuli? So let me put a picture there. Though for others, it's not used ethically.
No.
And there's no reference. There's no link towards, if I look a certain way,
exactly,
I should be able to secure employment.
Mm. So I guess there's just a lot that needs to change, even from the side of recruiters as well. So not just employers when they work on these recruitment policies, or even from the side of government when we actually change the policies, but recruiters and how they go about looking for the required skills, that needs to change, so that the focus is not also largely on someone's physical appearance.
Absolutely. For me, I mean, if I look at the new generation that's coming out, they're very liberated in how they express themselves, how they dress, how they look. How are we going to integrate those people in the workplace if we're so worried about what they look like, and how that space is evolving, and how the younger generation are more comfortable about the way they look? We're moving away from being conservative to being more open about what we look like. So if we are going to be so consumed and focus on what people look like, we are really just going to miss the point of looking for skills, looking for experience, and looking for the person that is best fit for the job. And what are we going to do with that when that point comes?
Yeah, got you. Thank you so much for making time. Thulisile Dubazana, Human Resource Specialist.